The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the controller of immortality and fearlessness. And he is transcendental to death and the fruitive actions of the material world. O Narada, O Brahman, it is therefore difficult to measure the glories of the Supreme Person. Purport. The glories of the Lord in the transcendental 75% of the Lord's internal potency are stated in the Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda. It is said there that those planets in the spiritual sky, which comprises the 75% expansion of the internal potency of the Lord, are far, far greater than those planets in the total universes composed of the external potency of the Lord. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the total universes in the external potency of the Lord are compared to a bucketful of mustard seeds. One mustard seed is calculated to be a universe itself. In one of the universes in which we are now living, the number of planets cannot be counted by human energy. And so, how can we think of the sum total in all the universes, which are compared to a bucketful of mustard seeds? And the planets in the spiritual sky are at least three times the number of those in the material sky. Such planets, being spiritual, are in fact transcendental to the material modes. Therefore, they are constituted in the mode of unalloyed goodness only. The conception of spiritual bliss, Brahmananda, is fully present in those planets. Each of them is eternal, indestructible, and free from all kinds of inebrieties experienced in the material world. Each of them is self-illuminating and more powerfully dazzling than, if we can imagine, the total sunshine of millions of mundane suns. The inhabitants of those planets are liberated from birth, death, old age, and diseases, and have full knowledge of everything. They are all godly and free from all sorts of material hankerings. They have nothing to do there except to render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord, Narayan, who is the predominating deity of such Vaikuntha planets. Those liberated souls are engaged incessantly in singing songs mentioned in the Samaveda, Vedai Sangha Pada Kramo Panishadair Gayanti Yam Samagaha. All of them are personifications of the five Upanishads. Tripad Vibhuti, or the 75% known as the internal potency of the Lord, is to be understood as the kingdom of God far beyond the material sky. And when we speak of Padavibhuti, or the 25% comprising his external energy, we should understand that this refers to the sphere of the material world. It is also said in the Padma Purana that the kingdom of Tripad Vibhuti is transcendental, whereas the Padavibhuti is mundane. Tripad Vibhuti is eternal, whereas the Padvibhuti is transient. The Lord and his eternal servitors in the transcendental kingdom all have eternal forms, which are auspicious, infallible, spiritual, and eternally youthful. In other words, there is no birth, death, old age, and disease. That eternal land is full of transcendental enjoyment and full of beauty and bliss. This very fact is also corroborated in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the transcendental nature is described as Amrita. As described in the Vedas, utamritat vasyeshanaha, the Supreme Lord is the Lord of immortality. Or in other words, the Lord is immortal, and because he is the Lord of immortality, he can award immortality to the devotees. Om Agnati Mirantasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurn Militam Jina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Bhayam Tathati Shapadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lolita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vansha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Somritasya payasye sho martyam annam yadatyagat mahimaisha tato brahman purushasya duratyayaha. This chapter is called Purusha Sukta Confirmed. The Purusha Sukta is a celebrated Vedic hymn glorifying the Purusha form of the personality of Godhead. And this chapter of the Bhagavatam expands on that glorification. This mantra quoted here, Utamrita Tvasya Sheshanaha, comes from that Purusha Sukta. The Somritasya Abhayasya Isha The Lord is the controller, the master of Amrita and Abhaya, of eternal existence and of fearlessness. And Purushasya Durateya, and he is immeasurable. Durateya means unfathomable, immeasurable. Ekang Sena Tato Jagat, in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Atava Bahunaitena Kim Gatena Tavarjuna Vishtabhyaham Idam Kritsnam Ekam Sena Tato Jagat. With one fragment of my potency, I maintain the whole material creation. Here two terms are used, ekpad vibhuti and tripad vibhuti. A pada is a quarter in this context. So one quarter of the creation is the material world, and tripad, three quarters, constitute the spiritual world. And we can't even come to the end of the material world. Srila Prabhupada cites the example here that our universe, with all of its planets and stellar forms, is like one mustard seed in a bucket of mustard seeds. Mustard seeds are small. A bucket of mustard seeds, you know. When you buy mustard seeds in the store, they don't count them for you, you know, like 247. You know, a bucket of mustard seeds, how many mustard seeds would that be? And our universe is like one mustard seed in the bucket. And each of those mustard seeds is a universe with so many planets, so many mountains and seas, and we're reading the Times of London and getting the latest news about a mustard seed, and not even a mustard seed, but a little portion of a mustard seed. And even that, you know, we can't get to the bottom of the news. They just give us something. Partly true, partly false, and not very expansive, not a deep study of anything. And still it's overload, information overload. And that's only for a little corner of our planet. And then beyond the bucket of mustard seeds is the spiritual world, which for our understanding, of course, the spiritual world is unlimited, but it's, for our understanding, said to be, Srila Prabhupada says, at least three times greater than the material world. So what will we understand of that world? And therefore, what will we understand of the personality of Godhead? He's Durateya, Aprameya, immeasurable. So, Purushasya, he's a person, but he's an immeasurable person. The Lord showed Yashodamayu all the universes within his mouth. And then within that picture, she saw herself looking into Krishna's mouth and seeing so many universes. And if you looked in there, you'd again see, how much is there? So Amritasya. What is that? Mrityuscha sadasaccha amardana. What is the beginning? And anyway, 10th chapter again, Krishna says, I'm the source of immortality, and I'm the source of death also. So he's the Lord of everything. Therefore, there's no question of Krishna being subject to any of the material conditions. Amrityu, he's not subject to death. And his world is also not subject to destruction. Well, let's read some more. In the Bhagavad Gita 8.16, the Lord also assures that whoever may go to his abode of immortality shall never return to this mortal land of threefold miseries. The Lord is not like the mundane Lord. The mundane master or Lord never enjoys equally with his subordinates, nor is a mundane Lord immortal, nor can he award immortality to his subordinate. House of Lords, they're all going to die. The Supreme Lord, who is the leader of all living entities, can award all the qualities of his personality unto his devotees, including immortality and spiritual bliss. In the material world, there's always anxiety or fearfulness in the hearts of all living beings. But the Lord, being himself the supreme fearless, also awards the same quality of fearlessness to his pure devotees. Mundane existence is itself a kind of fear, because in all mundane bodies the effects of birth, death, old age, and disease always keep a living being compact in fear. We've seen this over the last couple of years, that people have been in absolute fear. Fear to go out, fear to walk around, fear to meet people, fear to go here, fear to go there. Wash my hands, wash them again, wash them again, wash them again. Because I might die. How much fear is there? And that's only fear of one virus. Then we have economic fears, we have family fears, we have fears of this, fears of that, anxieties. Pralayantam upashrita, up to the point of death. Achintam upadameham cha, pralayantam upashrita. The demonic especially have unlimited fears for all their power and all their control. They wake up every morning in fear. Everyone is subject to fear in this material world. And finally, it's fear of death and closing in on us. In this mundane world, there's always the influence of time, which changes things from one stage to another. And the living entity, originally being avikar, or unchangeable, suffers a great deal on account of changes due to the influence of time. Even if you're well set up, now you've made your fortune, you've got your mansion, you've got the wife, you've got the children, you've got the insurance, you've got this, you've got that. Change may come at any moment. The government could topple, the economy could crash. I think an American humorist said the sweetest words in the world are, "Your biopsy was negative." You may take a test tomorrow and, oh my God. By the influence of time. The changing effects of eternal time are conspicuously absent in the immortal kingdom of God, which should therefore be understood to have no influence of time, and therefore no fear whatsoever. In the material world, so-called happiness is the result of one's own work. One can become a rich man by dint of one's own hard labor. And there are always fear and doubts as to the duration of such acquired happiness. With more money comes more anxiety. But in the kingdom of God, no one has to endeavor to attain a standard of happiness. Happiness is the nature of the spirit, as stated in the Vedanta Sutras, Anandamayo Vyasat. The spirit is by nature full of happiness. Happiness in spiritual nature always increases in volume with a new phase of appreciation. There's no question of decreasing the bliss. Such unalloyed spiritual bliss is nowhere to be found within the orbit of the material universe, including the Janaloka planets, or for that matter, the Maharloka or Satyaloka planets. Because even Lord Brahma is subject to the laws of fruitive actions and the law of birth and death. Srila Prabhupada here is glossing annam, fruitive action. Annam, martyam annam, yadatyagat. The Lord is transcendental to death and to material activity, to the mundane work. It is therefore stated here, duratyaya, or in other words, spiritual happiness in the eternal kingdom of God cannot be imagined, even by the great brahmacharis or sannyasis who are eligible to be promoted to the planets beyond the region of heaven. Beyond heaven are Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. Brahmacharis or sannyasis may go there. No householders allowed. Sorry. But Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartin Arjuna. Even if one goes to Satyaloka, he has to come back down. But mam upecita kantia punarjanma na vidyate. One who goes back to Godhead never has to come back. The greatness of the Supreme Lord is so great that it cannot be imagined, even by the great brahmacharis or sannyasis. But such happiness is factually attained by the unalloyed devotees of the Lord, by his divine grace. The brahmacharis or sannyasis have to endeavor to attain the heavenly planets or go beyond them. But the pure devotees go beyond Satyaloka by the grace of the Lord. No amount of fruitive work, no amount of endeavor can bring one to the spiritual sky. But mam eva ye prapadyante, mayam etam tarantite. Those who surrender to Krishna, mrityu sangsara sagarat, bhavami na chirat partha maya beshata chetasa. Those who are fully engaged in the service of Krishna, for them, Krishna says, I'm the deliverer from the ocean of material existence, mrityu sangsara sagarat. And na chirat partha, not after a long time, quickly. Why? Maya veshita chetasa, because their minds are always absorbed in thinking of me, because they're Krishna conscious. For one who's Krishna conscious, Krishna is conscious of him. And Krishna, by his grace, delivers the devotee. On our own power, what can we do? But Krishna has unlimited power and unlimited mercy also. So when Krishna is pleased, then Krishna can free one from material existence. Then, Isha Abhayasya, he's the master of death, the master of fear. So one becomes deathless and fearless by the grace of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Questions, comments? Yes? We have a microphone for you.
Hare Krishna. Please forgive me, this question gets asked quite a lot.
You have to hold the microphone unhygienically close.
This question gets asked quite a lot, but I've still not understood it. You said if when we attain Krishna's abode, we never come back, as stated in the Gita. It's this idea of going back to Godhead. If you could perhaps clarify.
What's the question?
We're going back to Godhead?
Yes.
As Prabhupada says, but if we, Krishna says, one who attains his abode never takes birth again.
Mm-hmm.
So in my head there seems a slight confusion between...
Now you're here. Mm-hmm. You're meant to go there. When you go there, you don't come back. What's confusing?
If we were there before...
Oh, you can't figure that one out. No use being confused. You can't even begin. Prabhupada says that we've been conditioned since time immemorial. That's a long time. So, it's not figure outable. Is that okay? Or Prabhupada would say, just go. When you go, if you still want to worry about it, we can have that discussion, as they say. or whoever's there can have the discussion with you. But as stated here, there's no fear or worry in the spiritual world. So it's unlikely that you're going to worry about falling down again. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you so much for your class. I had a question about some of Krishna's statements. I know that you love the Gita and you read it daily. Sometimes when I read some of Krishna's statements, they can come across as a little bit arrogant. Oh, I'm this, I'm that. And sometimes because of bad experiences in the material world, we project those onto Krishna. Could you speak about Krishna's loving side and why he's speaking in this way to Arjuna?
Well, first of all, Krishna's so-called arrogant statements, for me it would be arrogant. Like if I say, I'm the source of all material and spiritual worlds. You're what? Buddy, who do you think, you know, where are you coming from? For me, it's totally arrogant. One who surrenders to me attains all, you know, it's like, get off it. But that's Krishna's position. He is the source of all material worlds. Everything does come from him. So for Krishna, it's not accurate. It's not arrogant, it's accurate. So that's the first thing. And even these so-called arrogant statements or his statements about the material world, they're spoken, what is that? Pratijane priyosime, bhaktosime sakacheti. I'm speaking to you all of these things out of affection for you. Because janma karma cha me divyam. Mameti, one who understands my transcendental nature, goes back to Godhead. So is that love or is that something else? Is that okay? Okay. Yes? No? Okay, we have these hands that are putting flowers up there. We have hands that are doing other things. Hare Krishna, here. Yes. No. Well, wherever hand is, send a microphone there. And if you have the microphone, then speak. I can hear better than I can see. Especially when you're that far.
You tell if we coming back to Krishna, we don't need coming back here. My question is, I should I go to Krishna? I'm not coming back anymore here, but my service, I know I don't finish my service. And I'm not coming back here.
You're worried about who's going to cover your service if you go back to Godhead? Estás preocupado que quién va a hacer tu servicio si vayas a Dios?
No. My question is, I know I should like coming back to Krishna, but I know I'm not finished my service. I made so many mistakes in my life. But I'm not coming back here.
Well, there's two things. One is that Krishna is kind. So it's understood, everyone makes mistakes, everyone screws up, everyone forgets and falls short. But Krishna is very kind. So he can take anyone. That's the first thing. Second thing is, if you come back, well, still you get to serve. You get to continue serving Krishna here. That may happen, that we may not make it in one lifetime. But That's explained in the eighth chapter. Srimatam, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashta Vichayate, one who falls down because of not having completed the course, gets to take birth in a fortunate family, and Purvabhyasena Tainaiva Riyate Avishopisaha automatically becomes attracted to Krishna consciousness. So even if you come back, you get that. You get to pick up from where you left off. If it was 60%, you start from 61. If it was 80, from 80. But don't come back. Whatever shortcomings may have been there, now take it very seriously. Depend on Krishna. And don't worry.
If Krishna allows me, I can come back. If Krishna doesn't want, I can
come back. If Krishna wants, I can come back. If Krishna don't want, I can come back. Yeah. So Krishna will sort it out. Is that all right?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your lecture, Maharaj. Regarding also the question Balaram had before, if Krishna was speaking in the Bhagavad Gita, and the relationship to Arjuna is actually in friendship, and then he says, bow down to me or worship me, I always thought it's kind of disturbing, maybe the whole scene, the whole rasa between Krishna and Arjuna, because suddenly Arjuna realized that I was with you in the same bed, that we were talking, we were joking, and now actually he feels bad. So Krishna is making feel Arjuna bad with all his philosophy.
making
Arjuna feel bad.
Feel bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, bye.
Yeah. The interesting, no one's asked me that question before. They've asked me many times, what about coming back, but this is a new one. For a friend, you don't say, always think of me, bow down before me, worship me. That's not how friends... So Krishna's taking the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Actually, he doesn't have to instruct these things to Arjuna. But it's for us. Even Manmana, he doesn't have to tell Krishna, Arjuna, always think of me. Arjuna's always thinking of Krishna. He doesn't have to tell Arjuna, Bhavamad Bhakta. Arjuna is completely a devotee of Krishna. So he doesn't have to tell Arjuna, Mam Namaskuru. In the 11th chapter, Arjuna said, Namaskritva Bhuya. That's the beginning. Namaskritva Bhuya Ibaha Krishnam Sagadgadam Bhita Bhita Pranamya. He offered obeisances again to Krishna. What is that? Namo namaste stu sahasrakritva punaschapuyopi. Namo namaste. I offer my obeisances to you 1,000 times. And again. And yet again. Nama purvastad at the prishtataste namostute sarvate eva sarva. I offered you from all sides obeisances. So Krishna doesn't have to tell Arjuna, namaskuru. Offer your obeisances to you. Arjuna is offered obeisances from every direction 1,000 times and 1,000 times again. So no need to give that instruction not for Arjuna, it's for us. Manmana, think of me. Stop thinking of the internet. Stop thinking of, you know, what you're going to put on Facebook. Stop thinking about your girlfriend. Stop thinking about this, that, COVID, whatever. Stop thinking about Russia and Ukraine. Start thinking about me. Manmana and Bhava Madbhakta, become my devotee. Stop this being a devotee of your mind and senses. Become my devotee. And all right, he's saying these things to Arjuna, so it seems incompatible, but Arjuna's going to forget. Again, he's going to joke with Krishna. Again, he's going to say, oh, Krishna, you're being very honest, sarcastically. Is that okay?
Thank you very much. But then also we have a similar situation with Uddhava, when Uddhava is going back to Vrindavan and Krishna is telling to tell philosophy to the gopis. And is it also at this point for our benefit?
Yes, it's for their benefit. Well, first of all, it's for Uddhava's benefit. Go there and speak something and see what you see. So it's for Uddhava's benefit. It is for the benefit of the Brajbasis. Anything they hear from Krishna will be, it's from Krishna. And it's for our benefit. Especially. The whole show is for our benefit, Krishna. This is all going on in the tripod vibhuti, in the spiritual world, and that too in the most confidential part of it. So when that comes here, why does it come here? It's especially for our benefit. Uh-oh. We're at 8:30 and now the hands are going up.
What are they doing?
And more hands.
I was wondering if we could experience this deathlessness and fearlessness while serving in the material world.
Yes. Can we experience deathlessness and fearlessness? As soon as I know that I'm not this body, then where's the question of death? Najayate mriyate va kadachit. Krishna begins Bhagavad Gita by telling Arjuna, you're not going to die. You were never born. Deathlessness, we're already deathless, but we're identifying with that thing which dies. So as soon as I realize that I'm not this body, then I realize that I'm deathless. And therefore, what fear is there? Narayana parasarve nakutaschana bibhyati. Svargapa Varga Narakeshva Pitul Yartha Darshana. For the person who's Narayana Para, always absorbed in Narayana consciousness, Krishna consciousness, there's no fear. For him, heaven or hell, Svargapa Varga, liberation, they're all the same. Is that okay? There were two questions over on the opposite side.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. What are the first steps after second initiation to learn?
What are the first
steps?
Steps
to learn after second initiation to serve Krishna in his world. Our Guru Maharaj Kadamakana Maharaj said yesterday that the difference is after second initiation that we serve Krishna.
You're swallowing your words a little bit. What did he say yesterday?
Guru Maharaj said yesterday that the difference after second initiation is that we learn to serve Krishna in his world and not that we are in
his material world.
And yes, I'm a beginner. I understood it like this.
Hmm.
What does it mean, practical?
Well, I don't know. I'll have to ask him. Krishna's world is the world of Krishna consciousness. We've been floating around in the world of me consciousness or us and them consciousness, and we want to transfer ourselves to the world of Krishna consciousness and then act in that to reestablish our relationship with Krishna or reawaken or realize our relationship with Krishna, then to act in that relationship, and finally to achieve love for Krishna. That's the broad outline of the program. Is that okay? Okay. Yes, behind you. You're off. I got the thanks, but...
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a very nice class. Following from her question, I got initiated yesterday as well, and second initiated, and I was wondering, contemplating, over the years that I have seen in Pujari, they're very attached to their service, extremely attached to their service, over the years, deity service. And I see sometimes it's a bit territorial. They don't want that service to be taken by anybody else. My question is, do I follow that footsteps in that sense of being attached to the service so much that you, no matter what, that is it? Or how do I go about? What is the mood that I take in as I enter this new arena of service?
The world of Pujari politics. The best Pujaris want to engage everyone else in the service of the Lord. They're the best Pujaris. Neophyte devotees only think of themselves and the Lord. Well, that's good. They're thinking of the Lord and they're thinking of themselves in relation to the Lord. But those who are more advanced see that there are others who are meant to be engaged in the service of the Lord. And so they want to be merciful to those who are less advanced. They want to be deferential to those who are more advanced, friendly to those who are on an equal level. So the best Pujaris want to engage everyone else in Krishna service. They're not just the servants of the Lord, they're the servants of the other devotees of the Lord, because Krishna means Krishna with his devotees. Is that okay? As we were reading here, the Lord is the master of the tripod vibhuti. The tripod vibhuti has unlimited territory. So there's no shortage, you know, that if you give up your territory, now what will happen? Krishna has lots more to give you. Last question, I think. Yes, in the back. Yes, you're on.
I have a question regarding going back home, just as Mataji was expressing her desires. What will it take, really, to make it back home in one lifetime?
It takes your strong desire. It takes your desire and Krishna's desire. Yayatamam prapajante. If you're desiring to Krishna, go back to Godhead, then Krishna's desiring to take you back to Godhead. But Prabhupada said if you take one step toward Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps toward you. He's more eager than we are. So we shouldn't just depend on, well, Krishna's merciful, so I'll goof off. We should very tivrena bhakti yogena, very seriously engage in Krishna's service, and then finally depend on Krishna for the outcome.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. But Krishna says, what is that? Mam jayantu pasate desha maham samudharta. For those who are thinking of me or engaged in my service, I quickly take them back. There's an encouraging message there. All right, we can stop here. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.